It's time once again to step out, step up, and step into the Coming Out Lounge, a safe space to be you and your truth with Coming Out Coach Rick Clemons. Rick's expertise in the coming out process has helped hundreds of men and women ignite their inner desires to powerfully step out of the closet and into the light of living authentically as gays and lesbians. Freeing you from the feelings of guilt or shame, Rick offers take action tips for basking in the glow of self-love, easy to implement tools for wrapping yourself up in the warm embrace of self-acceptance, and take it to the bank advice on how to step courageously into a powerful, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Each week, the Coming Out Lounge brings you heartwarming coming out stories, insights for living authentically as a gay or lesbian, and challenges you to step out of the ordinary and into your extraordinary life. Pull up a chair, cuddle up with the truth of who you've always been, and let's spend an hour in the Coming Out Lounge discovering how to energetically step out, step up, and step into living your truth. Here's the host of your show, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It's time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. And today I want to challenge you to think about the coming out process and how you can be creative and how you can really step into the spotlight of your life as you come through those closet doors. And sometimes when you step into those spotlights and try to find the creative ways to be really who you are, you kind of got to look at the patterns in your life, the patterns that keep repeating themselves until one day you wake up and you're ready for your truest close-up. Today's guest knows exactly what it means to focus in on the close-ups of one's life, so that you can really, truly, I guess, capture just that right moment to finally break the pattern and see into the perfect light of what you should be and how you should be living. Now, he's been through two marriages to two different women. He finally realized he was somewhat trapped in the closet of his own personal development. It was kind of like he was in a dark room of a different kind, because you see, he's a photographer and he's been doing a lot of photography for some very high-end, rich and famous people. But what he found was he was in a dark room that finally had become really almost scary, and things were becoming overdeveloped in there for him. And he just had to break free and finally come out to be himself first. So from a waspy straight guy to just Jeffrey, which is what I like to call him, Jeffrey Shaw has emerged truly into himself as a well-known photographer, talented business coach, and a creative podcaster who's going to share what he's learned about really truly stepping out and being himself. Oh, and he just happens to be gay as well. That's why he's on the show. Welcome to the show, my friend, Jeffrey Shaw.
Thanks, Rick. That is the best opening ever. That was really fun.
Well, hey, you're a fun guy, and I know we've just kind of gotten to know each other, but I love the similarities of our paths and the way we've gone through life to get to this beautiful space of really being who we are. So I'm really excited to have you here today, man.
Thrilled to be here with you.
So I kind of gave the listeners a little bit of an insight into, you know, where you've been, but you kind of went down a very similar path to me. We kind of took that detour through doing life as normal, heterosexual, being married, all that good stuff. You happened to do it twice. And then suddenly, as I said, you kind of woke up one day. So what was that moment when you really realized, okay, this pattern's got to get broken?
Huh. Gosh, that's a loaded question, isn't
it?
I know.
It is for me too.
And I don't know that it really wasn't one big moment. You know, you reflect back. First, let me say this. I've come to understand that living in the closet, whether it's the closet of our sexual orientation or any closet we're living in, we all have something to come out of.
Right.
And there's a difference between lying and hiding. And that's just an important distinction for me, because I don't feel I ever lived my life as a liar.
Yeah.
Because you're hiding from yourself first and foremost. So, you know, there's just a whole lot of hiding and not realizing my own truth. So there was no one single moment, but I can absolutely say my entire life I wondered, right? But hid it in the closet. Said, no, it can't be. And I could give you tons of reasons why there was just no way I could be gay, you know, even as a teenager suspecting it. So there was no one big moment, except that I guess my second marriage, which was brief, was with just a magnificent woman who could hold the space. You know, I mean, she just was the one of the strongest women energetically that I had ever met. Just somebody I respected highly. I think we came together in the spirit of friendship without realizing it. I think we were deep soulmates in a friendship sort of way, and came together as such. And I think I was that for her as well. I think I was a. She had two brothers. I think in a way I was the girlfriend, the sister she never had. Mm. So we had a deep friendship. And so if I was to say there was any moment, it was finding the soulmate who could hold the space to allow my truth to come through, and I will be forever grateful for her.
You know, that's so interesting because I just had a very similar conversation via email with my ex-wife this week because I just signed my book deal for my book, and I told her about it because obviously she's a very integral part of this book that's about to come out, and I said to her, thank you for holding the space for me to finally become me. And her and I have had these conversations throughout the years once we got through the storm of me coming out and the divorce and all this stuff, how we kind of were brought together in different ways to support one another. And I think sometimes those of us who've been married and gone through this experience, what you just shared is we are brought together to hold the space for each other and for us to find our own path. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened for you with your second wife.
Yeah, I think so. My first marriage, which was 19 years and brought me three fantastic kids, I tell you, the objective of that relationship, we came together to have children. Yeah. You know, we met when we were, we knew each other since elementary school, but we're married by 20, mm-hmm. Dated from the age of 17 on, married at 20. Pretty classic gay man story, honestly. We tend to statistically get married young when we're covering it up. But the objective clearly was to have kids. You know, I was a kid wanting to have kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, that relationship came together for the primary purpose of having children, which we did pretty quick on, mm-hmm. and stayed together for 19 years because I'm a dutiful, responsible guy. And that was actually a really funny in an odd sort of way when I, because I was, like I said, long divorced from my first marriage when I came out. And she made a comment to one of our kids that I lacked commitment, or I had commitment issues, which I found downright comical because I stayed in a relationship that was a really challenging one for a lot of ways, and you know, from a really dutiful place. You know, once you become a father and you have children, you know, so it was all about commitment to me.
Sure.
So it's kind of, you know, it's everybody's perspective. So,
well, I think it is everybody's perspective, but I think something that, you know, people on the outside looking in, and I sounds like you may have had some of this show up a little bit, but I know as I've started to write for Huffington Post, and I know you're a HuffPost guy too, and put my story out there in different ways. And then as I've been on different stages and then, you know, in the media, people always say, but you know, why did you do this? Why did you choose to ruin this woman's life? I'm like, okay, time out. I didn't choose to ruin her life. That was not the choice. The choice was I was doing what society had kind of painted the picture of, this is how you're supposed to be. And at the time that this was all unfolding for me in my 20s, just like you said, we kind of get married young and do the kid thing, like, you know, pretty quickly. I was convinced that, yeah, okay, this is just something that is like that little pebble in the shoe, so to speak, and it's just going to go away. And I did want to have children, and I did want to have a loving relationship, and I did want to have a family and a home and, you know, beautiful life with someone, yada, yada, yada. And it always amazes me how people who are on the outside looking in take this point of, but look what you did to her. Well, I didn't intentionally do it. I tried to be what I thought was meant to be. And it just happened to be, this is what happened, bottom line.
Yeah, I completely understand. I mean, for me, I couldn't have imagined that I could ever have been gay. I mean, it really wasn't, although I was aware of the attraction, if you will, when I was young, it just was not something I could ever imagine being true because I didn't have a particularly fond feeling about men.
Right.
You know, so that was the ultimate irony. Like, I didn't have good male relationships in my life at all. I didn't have good male role models. Didn't have a very high opinion of men. So how could I possibly ever want to be in a relationship with a man like that? So to me, what I thought, it was like a reservoir that needed to be filled. If I just had that best male friend, if I just had a more loving relationship with my father, or if I was able to connect with a man in a loving way, whatever hole was evident in my life would be healed.
Sure.
Right. So that was, so to me, I never knew that I was even battling against my sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. I thought I was fulfilling something that was lacking. So the natural, as you say, the natural progression when you want to have children and you want to have a traditional life, particularly for men of our age, yeah. That's what you do. You got married, you had kids, and you went about living your life and bought one house, and the next one was a little larger. And you know, I said, we went on that way for 19 years. My first marriage divorced for having nothing to do with my sexual orientation, obviously, because right. I continued to date women. I met another woman, got married again. So
I think this is interesting, though, because you just brought up a piece that I think, again, and I know I'm going saying, okay, people on the outside looking in, they don't get. Every client that I've worked with over the past 6 years, working with them coming through the closet doors, who's been married, what I find is, it isn't just the sexual orientation that was the cause. There was many, many other things going on in that relationship that just really wasn't working. And I think this is a piece, I've tried to project this and write about it a lot and share this a lot. It's a piece that I think is very common in any relationship that breaks up. If somebody's having an affair, the affair may be the ignite, you know, the igniting spark that brings everything to a head. But when you look outside of the affair that may have occurred or the infidelity, there's a lot of other stuff in the relationship that really, truly just wasn't working. And I think we focus on the Big Bang theory of why something just happened. In reality, man, there was a whole lot of stuff going on.
And yeah, absolutely. It's so much, it's always so much more complicated than the sexuality of it.
Absolutely.
You know, for me, I remember my marriage, and it shows up in whole different ways. I can remember really feeling, so the dynamic, I guess you could say, of my first marriage was that she was a very dependent woman. And I was a very, you know, a strong guy and took on a lot of responsibilities. So other ways that it shows up is I wanted nothing more than to be hugged by somebody bigger than me. Mm. Because all I knew of a hug experience was a giving of a hug. Mm. I literally didn't know what it meant or felt like to receive a hug. Because she was, as a woman, she was not able to be as strong or big or hug me. Right? It was all about Got receiving.
Yeah.
And so to me, that was almost a non-sexual sexual dynamic of being in a wrong orientation or relationship. I didn't, again, it wasn't as much of a clear sexual orientation as we think of it, but hugging is a part of that.
Yeah.
Right? And it was simply being able to receive a hug that just didn't exist for me. And I was aware of that more than I was aware of any orientation questions.
So I'm kind of curious because, and I'll share some pieces of my story around this too. So you were kind of in this relationship, the first one where it was very, you know, you had the very dependent woman. Then the second relationship was more around the soul-centered stuff. So as you've gone out into your life as who you truly are as a gay man, do you find similarities in the kind of people that you've started to attract as partners? Are you attracting people who are dependent, more the soul-centered? Where does the mix kind of show up in your current life?
That is such a fantastic question because I've, as most of us, I've certainly got enough therapy in my life to recall a lot of conversations I've had with therapists.
Right.
You know, and the bottom line is there's pieces of all our previous relationships that come along.
Yeah.
But I am in a relationship and have been with my partner for just shy of 5 years. And I don't see pieces of any previous relationship in him really whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But he does represent the biggest challenge for me in finding any partner in life or anybody to share time with is that I seem to live a life that is quite diverse. I mean, on one hand, I am a practitioner of yoga, and I spend a lot of my time around people who are kind of in that world, right?
Right.
And I'm a really serious entrepreneur, and I love my work, and I love my role as a business coach. So I found myself always wondering, like, where's the person somewhere in between? Like, you know, I love the soul-centered person, but I need a soul-centered person with direction. And on the other hand, I met people with a lot of direction and ambition, but they were lacking a little soul and spirituality. So to me, that was the duality I was always dealing with. It didn't matter to me whether that person was male or female. Like, I didn't see that as much as the distinction, because I think that's possible in both men and women.
Right.
My second wife, I'd say, was a very good balance of that. I would say that she did, which is why I was so attracted to her. She did embody. I was more drawn initially to her spirituality. She had a beautiful centeredness about her, you know. But she happened to be also a very high level executive in a big company. Hmm. So my partner Warren is just that. I mean, we're in business together as well. We are side by side pretty much 24/7, and he is. So it's a great question, because, like I said, I do believe, as I've heard from so many therapists, that a little bit of all our previous relationships come along. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, to me, my relationship with him is a clean slate.
Mm.
I look at it. It's one of the things I have to say I really love about gay relationships, certainly for somebody like us, having been able to see both sides of the world, is that it's a beautiful thing to watch the gay community over the years have defined relationships in the way that work for them. Mm-hmm. There's not as much, there just isn't the social standardization that has taken place in heterosexual relationships.
Right.
And I think that has really made, it offers the opportunity to have really genuine, authentic relationships in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
That I have so embraced, because yeah, I feel like Warren and I have co-created the relationship we want,
right,
not socialized,
right,
by, you know, as I felt that. I felt my heterosexual relationships were very socialized,
yeah,
and they were the way they looked, the way they were supposed to look.
Yeah. And I find that very powerful. So kind of back to, you know, the similarities. I found that as I started to date people, I kind of started dating guys that were very opposite of who I'd been with, and it wasn't working. And then I started dating people who were very similar to my wife, ex-wife, and other women that I had dated, and it was too similar. And then when I started to just relax in and go, okay, let's just see what shows up, that was when the guy showed up. And my husband and I have been together now 14 years, and he's an interesting amalgamation of both my wife and the guys that I kind of dated. There's some interesting quirkiness to it, but there's some similarities. And I think you're right, you bring all this forward, but then also we've socialized our relationship into a way that has similarities to true heteronormative, but also has very big differences to the heteronormative way of being. And I agree with you 100%. I think this is the beauty of LGBT life, that because of how we are different in our sexual orientations and in our gender identities, we tend to go say, well, let's take the petri dish out and see what we can create that works for us.
Exactly. I mean, I've really embraced the terminology of same-sex relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really, to me, if you actually get it underneath that, it has its own dynamic.
Yep.
Right? Because it's just different. You know, it just has a different flow. It's almost indescribable, but it, that to me is more meaningful than sexual orientation. Like, yeah, I genuinely know that I'm meant to be in a same-sex relationship, mm-hmm, because I just so get it, and the energy, and I am meant to be with the energy that this man exudes, and I just know that through and through.
So this is interesting, because I have this inner feeling too, that's exactly where I operate from, that it's more the same-sex relationship that just happens to include same sex. Sex.
Exactly.
You know, yep. And I often get sometimes thrown under the bus, so to speak, by people, because we'll be out somewhere socially, and of course I get to talking, and I'll end up talking to some beautiful woman, you know, and we connect, and we have, you know, this, and in fact, it just happened just a few weeks ago. I was at an event in Portland, And I really connected with this gal. We ended up hanging out all evening. My husband was out on the dance floor doing stuff with other people and everything. And I had somebody say, okay, you're gay, right? I'm like, yeah. Wait, but you were hanging with this gal all night long. I'm like, yeah, so what? It doesn't mean anything. I connected with this person, and I operate from that space in my life of, if I connect with someone, I connect. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with their gender or their sexual orientation. I just connect.
Absolutely. I mean, isn't that one of the things that makes it confusing as a teenager? Like, I thought I was a chick magnet.
Right.
I had all girlfriends.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, when, you know, teenage girls were much more, I was best friend with my, I have two older brothers.
Right.
And I was much closer and more understanding of their girlfriends than they were. Yep. They were jerks, you know. They were the jerky boyfriend as teenagers, where I was the little brother that listened to what they had to say. And, you know, so I was always surrounded by women, and still am to this
right.
day.
Yeah.
But that's who I connect with on a friendship level.
Right.
But I know at the end of the day that it is the energy of my partner that I need. It's what gives me solace from the world. It's the hug yep. that I was looking for and have been looking for my whole life, where I can be embodied and hugged in a way that makes me feel safe and makes me feel like I have a place that I can go to recover and ramp back up so I can go back into the world and do what I'm meant to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of going back into the world and do what you're meant to do, this coming out journey has also helped you start to really focus on, not only are you a great photographer, but as you've moved through life, you've started to realize that you love being an entrepreneur and helping other people really come out to be fully who they are in their businesses.
Yes. You know, it's it all comes down to authenticity. And again, I go back to what I said in the beginning, that anybody who's challenged with their authenticity, I take a stance that most people are not lying about their authenticity. It's being hid. And I think I work with so many entrepreneurs, and everybody has something to come out of. There's a gap between most people's real experience and what the world sees. There's just a gap. Right. Sometimes it's a financial gap. Sometimes it's people are projecting the image of financial stability, and that's not the truth at all.
Yeah.
Right. So everyone is living in some gap of inauthenticity until you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the journey. The truth, I don't think I have much of a gap at all. That doesn't mean it's TMI. It doesn't mean you go around telling everybody everything. But it's closing that gap and obviously coming out. And I came out first to myself, then to my closest family, my extended family, and then to my business, to my clients. And so I'm, you know, fully out. Everyone knows most people know my partner as well. And but, you know, authenticity is, it's not something you find, it's something that you uncover.
I love right? that.
It's there, you know, and whether it is, and that plays out in so many ways. It plays out obviously in our personal life, but actually as a business coach, I feel the same way. Like, I'm coaching my clients to uncover their authenticity. The one thing all my clients have in common is I work with creative entrepreneurs. They're all in business marketing themselves or their talent. And because of that, they need to personally connect in the deepest way possible to those that they're meant to serve.
Yeah.
In order to do that, in order to get the practicality of good branding message, You have to get underneath it, and you have to uncover their authenticity. The uncovering the authenticity becomes the authentic brand message. It's not a tagline. It's not a slogan, because those come from the head.
Right.
This is getting underneath it and bringing out somebody's authenticity, and that's the journey. It's the journey of being successful today as a creative entrepreneur is uncovering your authenticity so that you can connect and align cleanly, honestly, and with integrity to the people that you're meant to serve.
So I'm curious what your perspective is on why it's so hard for people to want to bring forward this true authenticity in their lives.
Probably first and foremost is consciousness. I mean, so many people suffer with the imposter syndrome. You know, and eventually I hear this from so many of my clients who will eventually reveal that they in some way feel like they're an imposter and they're afraid they're going to be revealed. So I think first being conscious of the gap,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. It's also, you know, one of the biggest reactions I get from my coaching clients is that I've granted them permission. And I love that I started getting that feedback because it was never anything I was conscious of. I didn't create a plan for that. But I started hearing it all the time. People felt like I was giving them permission. So let's take, for example, the notion of chasing squirrels or lacking focus, right? I mean, I work primarily with creative people.
Yep.
They all chase squirrels.
Yep. Yep.
You know, we all have shiny object syndrome.
Yeah.
The problem is those folks have been put in a closet. They literally have been told most of their lives that they should focus. They've been told they have ADHD. They've gone into business, and traditional business tells you to find your niche.
Right.
Right. Which has been interpreted as pick one thing to do and one avatar and that's it.
Yep.
And a creative person is thinking, okay, if that's what I have to do to be successful, that's what I'll do. Meanwhile, it's torture. Mm-hmm. They can't, who is that avatar? Who is that one person? Why is that I see 50 other things I want to do? Why is it I want to serve 10 other people? There must be something wrong with me. I'll keep this in the closet and I'll pretend that I'm the entrepreneur that I'm supposed to be. Right, so my feeling is that forcing focus blocks creativity. Their creativity is their unique differentiator. So I want to take the lid off, let them out of the closet. I refer to it as unleashing. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's I believe why I get so much of a response of you've granted me permission to be myself. I've told them, look, you're never going to make the shiny objects go away, but how can we leverage it? Because you won't succeed if you're just chasing squirrels without direction.
Right.
But you can establish direction. Direction and focus are two different things. Mm-hmm. Like I say, let's get clear on your direction and enjoy the hell out of the view. Look at everything, but go in a direction. And be free to change directions, but you have to know where you're going. But you're never going to shut off the peripheral view of a creative person, and nor should we. It stifles their creativity.
Well, and I love what you just are saying, because there's a very beautiful parallel to coming out of the closet. If you force the focus that you have to be straight, you have to be heteronormative, you have to be this, it's no wonder that this creative part of us in our sexual orientation, which is a creative space, it is creating yourself to be known as, but I'm different. I'm not this. I am not this. But we are so focused on you have to be heteronormative. You have to be heteronormative. It's not surprising to me that so many people, as they go through the coming out journey to be in their sexual self, just everything else in life gets turned off too. There's no happiness. There's no joy. There's no spark. Because it's putting the flame out, so to speak.
I never thought about it this way, but in a way, you know, being socialized into the heteronorm, it's sort of like pick your niche.
It is. Well, that's
why I felt like I was told to pick a niche, and the niche happened to be women. Okay, right. I'll pick that niche.
Right, but you walked right into what I was about to say, because as you were saying that, I'm like, I had never really seen it that way either. It's like, oh wow, this is kind of interesting. Because it is kind of, this is your niche, you know, and then when we start to think about it, then I'm not knocking my heteronormative brothers and sisters, because I have many that I love and care about. It's not like, oh, I'm this gay and I, you know, straight, no way, sort of. That's not who I am, for damn sure. But what I love about thinking through this now from this new lens is, so the focus becomes heteronormative. Well, as soon as you start to do the heteronormative, then, oh, the next focus is, well, heteronormative with children. Oh, well, then heteronormative with children and this kind of house. Oh, well, heteronormative with children, this kind of house, and, oh, you live in this kind of neighborhood. It's interesting, and then yet, when I flip it back over onto my own gay life, I can see the same thing in our own community at times, where we suddenly, oh, okay, now you're gay. So let me show you how the focus and the niche of gay looks.
Right. But for those of us, you and I and countless others who have walked both sides of the fence, if you will, I'm sure you had the same experience as I did. It's like, you know, I fit a niche. I was living a niche, you know, mm-hmm. very, you know, the right town, the right home, the right marriage, the right number of kids, the whole thing. I had the niche down. And, you know, by means of a process, I come out and I'm gay. But internally, I'm still the same man.
Yep.
I still have the same values.
Yep.
But what was fascinating to me is I suddenly wound up on the other side of the tracks.
Yep.
Socially, right? We, until recently, couldn't get married, or if we did, it wouldn't be recognized in all states.
Right.
Right. And that was suddenly health insurance has different rights or no, lack of rights. And that was fascinating to me because I just like, wow, I'm still the same man. Like I'm walking the same path. I have the same values. I still have the same relationship with the same children. I still have pretty, in some ways, pretty conservative values. You know, I'm politically liberal, but you know, I just believe, I believe in commitment. I love relationships. So, you know, I live a really normalized life.
Yeah.
And yet the perception was different because I changed the niche, if you will. That was fascinating to me.
Well, and I find it fascinating too that as, and I, you're spot on. I went through the same sort of thing. It's like I suddenly changed the focus and then boom, I'm on, you know, everything in my life started to be completely as if I was, as you said, on the other side of the tracks. I wasn't good enough and all this sort of stuff. But then I actually started to experience something very similar in my own gay community. Oh, you were married. Oh, you had kids. Oh, well, you're not quite so gay. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know, without being really crass, I can get down on my knees and do the deed just as easily as you can. So yeah. let's get past that. But
But on the other side, I just want to mention, because you're talking about, you know, all your heterosexual friends. I mean, the other thing that I have just so embraced, I just cannot believe the rallying together of all people. Mm-hmm. And like you, I mean, most of my friends, most of my relationships, clients, I mean, most of my surroundings are straight people, straight families, very traditional families.
Right.
And the outpouring of love and support that I received not only in coming out, but as we see the laws in our country change, and I continue to just be like, wow. I just continue to be shocked and embraced by the degree to which our straight brothers and sisters are accepting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Absolutely beautiful. It's been, what a wonderful thing to watch.
So, you know, this is the Coming Out Lounge, and we're going to have to wrap this up. Before I wrap up every show, though, I love to ask this last question. You know, as somebody who's come through closet doors, numerous ones, and as someone who will continue to go through different closet doors, I would love to get, you know, just a good piece of advice you would like to leave with the listeners about going through this process of coming out. Anything that you think could be inspirational?
Yeah, the best advice I got, and I'm a researcher. I mean, I probably went out. I should write a book called Coming Out the Geek Way, because I was a total geek about it. I did research. I put together, I think, like a 20-page document for my wife about every question she could possibly ever ask at any time in her life, so that she was prepared. So I wanted her to know, you know, everything. So, you know, me doing my research, I actually wanted to understand her perspective. So I read like 3 books about women whose husbands had to come out on them, because I really wanted to understand her perspective.
Yeah.
One thing led to another, and I wound up getting a counselor and a supportive from a gentleman in Chicago. And the best advice he gave me, which I'd love to pass on, is do it in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And he taught me to be so protective of my well-being, so that I wasn't torn apart. I came out when I came out in the most healthy of ways. I really took care of myself. I made sure that I felt dignified as a gay man, because you know, when you first start coming out to yourself, you're not sure how dignified you feel about yourself. You're not sure how you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
And I worked really hard on making sure that I was proud of who I was. I felt good about the way I handled the people in my life. I put a ridiculous amount of effort into taking care of my children.
Yeah.
I had for another conversation, the story behind that is actually comical. I mean, I went to extreme measures to make sure that they were taken care of, because I had no idea what the response was going to be, which, by the way, was basically, can we go get ice cream? Like, right. they couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Literally, they wanted to get ice cream because I had promised them.
But Jeffrey, I think the reason that happens is because you did exactly what you're just describing. You went and determined a healthy way to do this. And this is one of the things that I work with so hard with my clients, is if you do this from your core values, if you step from your core values through this doorway, you will always do it exactly the way you're meant to do it. If it's about honesty, integrity, and respect, and care, and truthfulness, and all those things, if that's how you step through the doorway and do that with those you love and care about, whether it's your children, your ex, your parents, your friends, whatever it is, this will always work. Even in the worst cases where the spouse may flip off the handle, if you stay in your best self, you will find on the other side that you have managed to do this in a very beautiful, caring, loving way for yourself and for those you care about most.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I made a choice to connect. I think Doug was his name. His exact words were, come out the way you live your life.
Exactly. I love that.
And he knew the way I lived my life. I always lived my life with great integrity and honesty to the degree that I understood my truth. And I came out the same way. And it's been a rewarding journey for sure.
Well, and this has been a really rewarding show for me to have you on. I'm so glad we connected and I could bring you to the listeners and share you with them. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to find out more about you?
I would go to my website, creativewarriorsunite.com. It is my business site, but it actually gives a huge sense of who I am as a person. It's a brand new platform we launched just about 3 weeks ago, and it is actually one of the things I'm most proud of because it is the result of the journey, you could say. It's the most vulnerable, honest representation of myself I think I've ever put out in the world as on a personal level and a professional level.
And it reflects yet again another coming out.
Yes.
It really does.
I said it's, and again, I hadn't thought, so much has come up for me in this interview, I hadn't thought about it. It's actually the first website or web-based platform that I have put out in the last several years since coming out. So I guess it is really reflective of that journey.
That's beautiful. Just beautiful. And I just want to say thanks for being here and sharing yourself and really giving of yourself to our listeners today. It was really great to have you.
Well, thank you for the beautiful and meaningful work you're doing. I wish I knew about you several years ago.
And if you've really enjoyed what Jeffrey and I have been talking about today, I'd invite you over to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you're taking us and downloading us from, and give us a little bit of love, but only do that if you really feel compelled to do that. While you're at it, hop on over to Facebook to The Coming Out Coach, become part of the family over there. And if you're a little bird who loves to tweet, you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is @RickClemens, and the hashtag for the show is The Coming Out Lounge. And Jeffrey, what's your Twitter handle?
It is JeffreyShaw1, and I'm all over it. So
cool. I'd
love to connect with people there.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to do what we always do at the end of each one of these shows. We're going to say we're out of here, but never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemens, your host of The Coming Out Lounge, and we'll see you in just another week. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today with The Coming Out Lounge with your host, Rick Clemens. Make sure you tune in with us next week, same time, same place, for The Coming Out Lounge.